Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with another episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. This is Gerald Glass. We're coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, and of course, the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you checking out all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe. Subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Pop Culture Cosmos, PC Multiverse, State of Pro Wrestling, which is coming up later this week, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and all the great things that we do right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. But it wouldn't be a Pop Culture Cosmos without my compadre in crime for the Monday show. Indeed, he is the master blaster. The master blaster of everything that you can find today at happyhoardercollectibles.com. It is, of course, my good friend. It is Josh Peterson. What's up, man?
You know what? So I woke up this morning and I was scrolling through the news and I saw that IGN is up to their old tricks, you know, by doing the next Nintendo Switch has been announced. It's the Nintendo Switch Virtual Boy or whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh, that's right. It's April Fool's. So you literally cannot trust anything you read in the news today.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like a fool for actually skimming by it. I was not tempted to actually click on it because I already know it's a waste of my time. But that's the thing. The April Fool's jokes, they're harder and harder to get by us. We've seen so many now. It's just like, okay, we know it's fake. Yeah, we know it's fake. We know it's fake. We know it's fake. So it's almost like you need to change what April Fool's Days is just so that people will get out of that rhythm, because everybody knows now today they just can't believe everything that they see.
Or what if you make an announcement and it sounds ridiculous, but it ends up being true? Then that would totally flip April Fool's on its head.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. But again, would the blow be softened or the output be softened by the fact that you released it on April Fool's Day, or would it actually increase and grow just because you did?
I don't know. And maybe it would create a trend and April Fool's would just disappear. But I don't think we want that at the same time, because some of the April Fool's stuff is funny. I don't know. On a side note, though, one April Fool out there that is a close friend of ours is Chad Smith of Hyperschmidt, or City of Lions now is what he's doing. It's his birthday today. So if you guys be sure to head on over to their social media pages at City of Lions and wish him a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you, Chad. Done some great things over the years, has a lot of great songs. I know for this show, we actually had played back in the days when we were playing accepted songs. Hyperschmidt was one of our favorites, absolutely. So wishing him a truly happy birthday, and hopefully his day will be blessed indeed. But it is the Pop Culture Cosmos, heard around the world on radio stations worldwide. It is Gerald Glassford along with Josh Peterson. For today's show, we'll be talking some Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, plus also as well, we're going to be talking about the MonsterVerse from Warner Brothers. Has it been a success so far? We'll go ahead and evaluate that as we face the franchise with that. It's also the end of a company that was a major part of the early 2000s machinima movement and basically American anime movement during that period of time in Rooster Teeth. The fall of Rooster Teeth has finally become complete with the announcement and shutting down Rooster Teeth because of Warner Brothers and other entities not wanting to keep them in business. We'll talk about the end of Rooster Teeth, their importance on the cultural zeitgeist of the early 2000s, and also the end of the popular Red versus Blue, Rooster Teeth's most popular property. We'll talk about the end of that show as well coming up on the show. But also as well, we'll be talking about the possibility, April Fools or not, Xbox handheld. Yes, it was mentioned before and not on April 1st. Is it an April Fool's joke for Xbox gamers? We'll talk about that coming up on the show as well. But my friend, the first thing on the plate has got to be the sheer success bordering on what Dune Part 2 did, which gets me mad that a film as great and highly intellectual as Dune Part 2 and a movie that just transforms sci-fi hasn't done much better than what a monster movie did. Which a kaiju movie, which we saw a kaiju movie, a much better kaiju movie in Godzilla Minus One. Yes, this is a commentary by me, by the way. But yes, I will say that I do got to give it its props. Godzilla X-Kong, the New Empire, came out to about $80 million this past weekend domestically, well above expectations, and also close to $200 million worldwide. It is another hit for Warner Brothers and Legendary in regards to this genre. Your thoughts before we face the franchise as a whole in this MonsterVerse, your thoughts on Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, my friend?
I look at a movie like Godzilla X Kong, and it makes me wonder, like, do you think the desires of moviegoers are changing? Like, where everyone's wanting a much more simplified experience when they go to the movies. Like, people don't go so much for like complicated storylines, because there was a really early 2000s and, you know, up until the 2010s, like, there was a desire for like art house cinema, but now people seem to be only going to the movies to watch like popcorn flicks. And it makes me wonder, those are the ones that seem to be doing the best in theater, because like looking at Dune Part 2, that's the first time a movie that is that complicated has done this well in, I don't know, what, two or three years, maybe?
Well, maybe, so, you could throw Oppenheimer in there, and Barbie. Those two kind of make you think. Those two have like real issues that they put on there, especially Oppenheimer. But you're right, as far as Dune Part 2, It's easier for movie companies to throw out generalistic popcorn flicks. Mm-hmm. Although that popcorn bucket from Dune Part 2 was pretty funny. But yeah. I will say that Godzilla X Kong, it plays to, I don't want to say the lowest common denominator, because I think that's kind of mean, but it plays to a general audience. It translates well. But then again, this is also the same marketplace that has warmly welcomed the Fast and Furious movies.
Right. Well, that's what I'm, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, this is something that a movie like Kong versus Godzilla, it's something that you would take your family to see, right? Like, much like the people that go to see the Jurassic Park films, Fast and Furious, I guess, is some families go, some don't. But it's more of a movie that appeals to, like, hey, son or daughter, do you want to go watch a gorilla fight a giant lizard for 2 hours? Heck yeah, I do, Dad. Let's get some popcorn and do it. It's that kind of thing where it's a very simple story, and it's probably, I don't know how much it costs to make it, but it seems like it's a no-brainer, because now people are only going to the movies for those types of experiences, minus Oppenheimer and Dune, but because those seem to be outliers to the whole, the past like 4 or 5 years. But I don't know, I look at Godzilla versus Kong, and it seems like a, much like we talked about with Ghostbusters, like a no-brainer. Like, why would you not make something like that if people are still going to watch them? And even look at it, it's $194 million in the past 2 days or 3 days. So I mean, it feels like this franchise is going pretty strong, and I don't know like where it's going to go, because I did watch we'll talk about this during Face of the Franchise, but I have seen everything up to this point. It makes me wonder, like, oh, where's the story gonna go? But people are still digging it, and good for them, I guess.
Well, the thing is, though, that's comes on the top of the fact that Godzilla Minus One took Best Special Effects at the Academy Awards, and it just came out, and yet it can't get the kind of love that, it's considered a much better film, much better movie. Although with audiences, this Godzilla X Kong seems to be delighting audiences, but to critics, Godzilla Minus One is a substantially better movie, yet it didn't get anywhere near the love as this movie. And then you have Godzilla Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple Plus. Obviously, they're not tired of Godzilla and this genre right now. It seems to be like the low-hanging fruit that seems to be available, and it just keeps on going and going and going, and people, they just keep rolling out in the past year. This is the third major Godzilla project. People are not tired of it, obviously, by the numbers.
No, absolutely not. You know what sucks about Godzilla Minus One is that it could have done a lot better if it had a wide release. Yeah, it did not have a wide release, which was really dumb, because like, look at, there's a plethora of you go to Walmart and there's action figures of Godzilla, there's model kits of Godzilla.
Well, it didn't have the marketing campaign of a wide. It did get a wide release as far as what be considered a wide release as far as 1,000 plus theaters, but I get what you're saying, that it did not get a major studio supported wide release, 4,000 theaters, that type of deal, like you're seeing with Godzilla X Kong.
Right, but it didn't play anywhere near me. So I mean, I did not have an opportunity to go see it. I would have gone to see it, but it wasn't playing anywhere close. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, if they were to, you know, don't give it to Warner Bros. Or whatever, just put it out and give people a chance to watch it. And I think that it would have garnered a lot more money, because everyone's like saying, "Oh, go watch Godzilla Minus One instead." But where? How? You know, it's not the. It doesn't have the power of Hollywood behind it.
No, and it's kind of sad, though, as we've talked about such great movies that we have appreciated over the years. I know that I'm one of the biggest supporters of Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it was A24's biggest hit, but it's still the money it's generated worldwide. I think, you know, just basically got equaled by, in you know, what Godzilla X Kong did in 3 days.
Yeah,
and that movie took all the Academy Awards and is considered one of the best movies of this decade, and yet it can't find that same kind of audience. We talk about all the time in the past about Blade Runner 2049 being one of the best works of the past decade. It is absolutely something you and I are pretty much going to go on the mountaintop and say how great that film is, yet it can't find, or never did find, that kind of audience. And people think it's just not their movie or something like that. It's too, you know, whatever the pacing or whatever it's too intellectual, except whatever the reason why, they just don't, they never went out to the theaters like they did for this movie. And because it's just, you know, the kaijus just, you know, throwing against each other, against whatever world monument that they were going to go to today. So it again, people love that. And more power to him if that's the case. And they're appreciating numbers, but it just shows you the tastes of the general audience at large. And it does not bode well for somebody out there that wants to put out a movie that makes you think a little bit more, that maybe makes a statement a little bit more. Yeah, it just, those kind of movies. In fact, somebody said in one of my chats in Lakers Fast Break, about, you know, they're tired of redos, they're tired of remakes and whatnot. But I said, unfortunately, they're the safer bet to these movie companies. So you're going to see a lot more sequels and remakes, because of the fact that original stories have such a harder time making money at the box office.
Yeah, because I imagine when a studio, or sorry, when someone used to like pitch a script to a studio, they used to be able to guarantee you that this is the audience that we're going for, right? These are the people that are going to go and watch this movie. But now there is everything's off the table. There's no guarantees because nobody knows. So I wonder if it's a lot more difficult to pitch a movie now that is, you know, doesn't feature two things like beating the living daylights out of each other.
That's true. But, well, you know, again, it's, you got to give credit where it's due. It is Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. It did extremely well. Again, with what, three different Godzilla projects within the last 9 months, last 6 months, to be more exact. It shows that the appetite for this genre is not going to die down anytime soon. So that's going to lead, Warner Brothers, the legendary, to make another Godzilla X Kong or whatever. And we're going to see more Godzilla movies in the near future. And you can pretty much count on that.
Yeah, because the last one came out during COVID. Remember, it was a straight to max release, and it ended up that they never released the numbers for it. I mean, I'm sure I can Google them and find them, but there wasn't, like, you couldn't go on Box Office Mojo, you know, and see what the numbers were for the film. So I'm curious, like, what it would have done. But yeah, I mean, if it merited a sequel on Apple TV and Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire, like, who's to say that this thing's ever going to slow down? But again, we'll save this part of the conversation for Facing the Franchise.
That we will, my friend. But it is Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. What are your thoughts? Did you enjoy it? It seems to be getting a pretty good audience rating of an A-, so it's bodes well for its legs going forward. It could topple what is now the current leader worldwide in Dune Part 2, which is now over $625 million on its own. But I want to hear your thoughts. Are you going to go ahead and see, or did you see, Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire? And do you think it's going to be something where Godzilla movies are going to be coming out more and more often? Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, my friend, before we get to Xbox and Facing the Franchise, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to what we're seeing out there with everything going on in pop culture, I know one of the things that we always seem to talk about or always seem to try and at least get some mentions in every now and there is how the world of pop culture, when it faces as far as some of the influences that we've had over the past couple decades. And one of those influences was the machinima movement of the early 2000s to mid 2000s. And I know something that we've talked about a lot as far as your love for anime primarily, but a lot of the American anime sometimes goes undetected or unnoticed or unappreciated as much as it should. And little of that is part of the reasoning why Warner Brothers, again, seemingly the name of the day, looks like it's going to close, or it has announced that it's going to shut down Rooster Teeth, who I believe it bought out at some point down the line. So Rooster Teeth, maker of many and different animes and things of that nature. One of the things that they are most known for is Red versus Blue, which is, if you have not seen it, came out originally at the very beginning of the century. It is a sitcom slash short, animated short that they brought out as far as every now and then, featuring what life would be like if everybody was trapped in a Halo multiplayer. Let's put it that way, as far as a Halo multiplayer match and how they're dealing with the different kinds of things going on in the world or the universe there. But it is, you know, gone on to great acclaim for many years. But with the closure of the studio Rooster Teeth, the last announcement of a final Rooster Teeth production, including a Red versus Blue. So Red versus Blue is going to come out one last time in a full-fledged movie. Your thoughts, my friend, on the legacy that Rooster Teeth leaves behind.
You know, it's funny. So I remember when I, you know, got my first Xbox and I was, you know, playing Halo multiplayer back in the LAN days. You remember those?
Yes, I do.
But there, yeah, I remember going onto YouTube and stumbling upon Red vs. Blue. And as soon as that came on, there were like hundreds and hundreds of people trying to mimic that same exact thing. But nobody ever did it quite like Rooster Teeth. And I don't know back then, like if they were just a couple of guys in a garage and you know, much like that was their genesis. But yeah, they became something big, and then, you know, they started doing podcasts, and then Ruby came along. I know a lot of people from like IGN and Kind of Funny and all those other companies have crossed over and worked with these guys, and a lot of they definitely have had a mark on the gaming industry and podcast industry and just, I guess, just the entertainment industry in general. And you know, it makes me wonder though, like, this is a perfect example of why a small company like that should never sell out to a big company. Because I mean, look at like Square did that with what was it, IOI or whatever it was, the creators of Hitman. What was that? I forget what their company's called, but yeah, you have like notorious, like these big companies are notorious for coming in, swooping up the little companies, and then just either shutting them down or just
pushing. IO Interactive.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this seems to be a common theme, you know, in the entertainment industry, is like these big companies coming in and buying up these small companies and then either shutting them down or completely dismantling them. And you got to have, as so like being somebody, if you're someone who built a business from the ground up, it makes you wonder, like, is the money worth it? You know, is the money worth it to see the years of investment just disappear? Or go away, or watch it be broken down in front of your eyes. So that it does make me sad for Rooster Teeth, you know, and all the people that are going to end up losing their jobs. But I honestly, like, I hope that they serve as an example, you know, for people who might be in a similar situation. Like, don't take the money, don't take it.
It's hard, man. It's hard to resist because you think it's going to put you in a better place or put your company in a better place. Allow you to start doing projects maybe you could not have funded for yourself. So it could be a situation where, you know, the money that was offered, or when Warner Brothers bought Rooster Teeth, et cetera, you know, puts you in a different line. I mean, it based off of what their early success was with Red versus Blue, they started other projects, television, went into heavy into podcasting with a whole bunch of podcasts. They started their own studios. These were things that maybe they could not have funded for themselves without getting that support from a higher entity, in this case, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's true. You know, also there's a factor that no one has taken into consideration. You know, I think Warner Brothers is in this situation it's in now because of, you know, what happened with COVID. So it's very possible, had COVID not happened, that this would be a completely different story, you know, with everyone faced setbacks and money problems and all types of things. So I, you know, part of me wonders if this consolidation is due to some of the stuff that happened back then. But, you know, even still, like, it would make more sense for Warner Brothers to try to sell Rooster Teeth as opposed to break it down, because there are, you know, Rooster Teeth does make things that are very, that, you know, they are still profitable. So I don't know what the thinking is here. Like, I mean, like, I would hope that they would sell it before they, you know, just shut it down completely. But also, like, there are so many studios, there's so many people out there that are now doing what Rooster Teeth does that I think they'd probably have a hard time finding a buyer for it.
Oh, I think that's why they decided to shut down, because they probably were looking for a buyer for it, and unfortunately no takers for something that again, like you said, so many people do already, outside of having to go ahead and spend the kind of money that they do. So yeah, it's again, with the fact that there's so much technology out there creating these things and creating our show. In fact, the technology that we use to create our show. So it's something where we create content alongside the what they do, and in competing with that, it's going to be hard for anybody to go ahead and want or desire to go ahead and spend the kind of money for a studio with hundreds of employees involved and want to go ahead and pay for that when they can create a lot of what they're doing already for a lot less if they don't buy it.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the higher ups at Rooster Teeth won't have a difficult time finding a job elsewhere, but I'm curious if there's any sort of, like, you know, non-compete clause that is going into the, you know, whatever the paperwork is that they're putting together saying that these guys cannot start another studio, because that would also be kind of dumb too. But I don't know how the legalities of all that works, but, you know, it is definitely sad. It's the end of an era. You know, they've been around for a while, and a lot of us that, you know, do podcasts now or play games still, like, we were all at some points, you know, paying close attention to the Rooster Teeth ecosystem.
It is, of course, the end of Rooster Teeth and whatnot. But I do want to mention before we head to the break that they are going out with one last shot. Instead of a final season of Red versus Blue, they've decided to make a movie of it. Red versus Blue Restoration. So this is something that's going to come out on May 7th. I know that a lot of people will be in great anticipation for it. So I think it'll be very fun. And again, this is a series that I fell off of a long time ago, but because of my affirmation and fondness for the Halo franchise, as you see behind me, I think I will probably give it a look just because at the time in the early 2000s, I thought this was really funny. I waited for Red versus Blue episodes to come out with great anticipation. And at one time, it was something that I really looked forward to. And you know what? I'm looking forward to it again in May the 7th.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I much like you, I fell off, but it's definitely something I am interested in. So yeah, I'll check it out. Maybe in the meantime, I might even catch up on the show, however many, 12, 13, 20.
I think it's 19.
I don't know if I have that much time, but yeah, I'll definitely jump back into that world for a little bit.
Well, it just shows you that these companies, when they scoop up these smaller entities like Embracer, we talk about Embracer all the time, the hedge fund group that bought out so many AA and single A developers and eventually did not know what to do with all of them, and either has either sold or closed off many of these different developers. And you know, they also bought the rights to Lord of the Rings. And yeah, it just, again, you just because you had the money doesn't mean you should spend it so frivolously, and they did with Embracer. And it just leads me to something like with Warner Brothers and Rooster Teeth, where it leads to an unhappy ending. Warner Brothers, because it's doing this mass cut, we've already seen what they've done with the, you know, as far as all the movies on Max that they've, or TV shows they've cut out and are no longer showing or don't intend to ever show, in the case of Bad Girl and a couple others, because it saves some money. Same thing applies with Embracer. It's just these large entities making these poor decisions initially, then affecting a lot of people's lives when they reconsider.
Yeah, well, they're looking at, I mean, yeah, it's the livelihoods of the people, but they look at these what do you call it, like the absorbing these companies or whatever, they look at it as like a quick cash grab, or like, oh hey, I want to be at the forefront of this movement, podcast movement, whatever, and this is how we do it. But they're not taking into consideration, like, okay, once all this stuff happens, what are we going to do with this company? Like, what are our plans? Like, I mean, even looking at, you know, the Embracer Group picking up Lord of the Rings, like, what was the intention behind it? Was it just to say, just to own it, just that to get Lord of the Rings money? Or was there a true intention with them doing it? Like, oh, hey, we're going to create this content because this is what people want to see in this universe. Like, there's no, the people with passion aren't running these buyouts or whatever it is. It's the people who want money are, and that's going to ultimately be the death of all the creativity out there.
What are your thoughts on the end of Rooster Teeth? And of course, which means the end of Red versus Blue, with the final movie coming out on May the 7th, Red versus Blue Restoration. What are your thoughts on how these large entities get bought out? They take the money. Then later on, unfortunately, they, in a lot of cases, choose to regret it. We're seeing a lot of that as far as the companies owned by Embracer that they bought up and have since in many ways discarded, or also as well what we're seeing with Warner Brothers and Rooster Teeth. Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Well, 1/2 hour down, 1/2 hour to go here on the Pop Culture Cosmos. I want to go ahead and make sure Josh gets in what he needs to get in with the Happy Hoarder. Any updates on the Happy Hoarder, my friend?
Yeah, I'm actually, we're doing a comic convention at the local zoo out here on the weekend of the eclipse. So if you're out in Texas, definitely come by the Cameron Park Zoo. We'll be there all weekend, Saturday through Monday. I'm working on a rebuild of the website right now. So if you're on there and you can't access anything, that is why. So I am currently trying to get things up and running again. But other than that, yeah, just keep checking in on us, check in on the old. So follow us on social media. I really appreciate that.
That is, of course, Happy Hoarder Collectibles. Please go ahead and support Josh today by getting your next pop culture product right there at Happy Hoarder Collectibles. Well, my friend, there's still much more to talk about on today's program. I know that you, and this is not an April Fool's joke, everyone, on April Fool's Day, but there actually is legitimate talk as far as what Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, said in recently, I believe in an interview with Polygon, on what he would like in an Xbox handheld, leading to a lot of speculation on the possibility of an Xbox handheld. You already know that during the court case, as far as with Xbox and Activision and all that stuff that went down, everything, all the leaked files that came out, part of it was the thought or the process of, at that time, back then, that even Xbox some years ago were already thinking about an Xbox handheld. So I ask you, my friend, when it comes right down to it, your thoughts on an Xbox handheld? DGen says it's too little, too late, but I don't think that's the case personally, if you market it right, because of the fact that there's this little thing called Xbox Games Pass, Josh. And since it's not available on the Steam Deck, well, it is available on the Steam Deck if you try really hard and do some things to your Steam Deck. It is something I think that could sell if marketed correctly. But then again, Xbox never really sells things the way they should and markets it correctly. So your thoughts on possibly going into an Xbox handheld? It's something I think that it has a need, or there is a desire for it, but I'm not sure if Xbox can market it properly.
Yeah, so, you know, look at what DGen's saying. He's right. You know, with the backbone is, I don't know, like, if they've already put so much money into, or funds into, like, hey, look, you can play on your phone. You can access the Xbox app on the phone. There's controllers designed to let you do that. So at that point, the Xbox handheld would have to do a ton of things that both the Steam Deck and the, you know, just being able to do it on your phone with a controller can't do. Like, where is that market going to take them? Like, what are they just going to be? Is it going to be a handheld PC, or what, you know, what is it? What exactly would be in an Xbox handheld that would get us to be like, oh, hey, I would definitely love to pay that $500 instead of playing it on my phone or finding a way to get it onto the Steam Deck, or even playing a lot of the Xbox games are available through, you know, via Steam, not the Xbox ecosystem. You have to figure out how to put Games Pass on there yourself. But I'm sure Phil Spencer has said they would like to have Games Pass on the Steam, on the Steam Deck. So what is it that they're going to be able to offer us that we can't already do, and why would we pay for it?
Again, I don't have a Steam Deck. I know that it's still around $599, $699 and all that for Steam Deck right now. As the technology kind of starts to get a little bit waned, and of course, with the latest Unreal that is debuted, as far as what, 5.4 or thing? I forget which updated this, but I think it's like right on 5.4 or whatnot. It looks absolutely stunning. Your Steam Deck may not be able to run the top end games like that already. So maybe having an updated fresh handheld with an Xbox handheld specifically designed for Games Pass to be able to run smoothly, like on an Xbox Series S or X, or in this case, Xbox Series X, because not everything runs smoothly on an S. I don't know, man. I would be game for it. I would actually think about getting it if I could go ahead and treat it and use it in a manner much in the way I can a Nintendo Switch.
The price point, though, would have to be significantly cheaper than like the Steam Deck in order to get my attention for it. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd definitely be nice. Like, if
It should run Windows.
It should, you're right.
Microsoft, you know.
I mean, because if it was something too that had, you know, like you said, with the Deck, and you pop it down and stick it up on the TV, and like, oh, look, now you have an Xbox. Like that would be something I could probably get behind. But I don't know, man. It's just, it seems like it is too late for them to get into this game when they've already done so much when it comes to being able to play on the go without a handheld specific console.
I still think that there's a possibility that it could become a hit or could become something of value. The thing is, though, like I said, Xbox doesn't market things well. They're not as bad as Sony is. Sony with their peripherals, I mean, it's always a huge hit and miss either which way. It's either going to be a big hit or just a big miss. I mean, see PSVR2, see anything as far as what's their latest one, like you said, like the Backbone, their version of the Backbone, you know, that hasn't really sold that well either. I mean, there's a lot of things that Sony has as far as the graveyard of peripherals that they've sold over the years that have really, they've not gotten behind and stay behind. Xbox has had its share too. I know the Kinect actually sold really well to start off with. I mean, originally at the beginning of the Kinect era, and I went to a Best Buy. They had stacks and stacks of Kinects, and people were buying it left and right at that point in time. So there was a brief period of time when they were managing to properly promote the Kinect. They just didn't end up supporting it very well later on. I think that was due to the demise. And then they tried to force feed it on you on the Xbox One, and I think that was pretty much all she wrote for there. Even though it actually was pretty good on the Xbox One, and I'll leave it at that. But I want to say this regards to it, how you promote it. I mean, the Xbox Series X and S itself has not been properly promoted. There's no reason why the PlayStation 5 has to be outselling the Xbox Series X so far, like throughout 3-1 or whatever the number is at this point. People cannot give me a good reason why. They can say, oh yeah, well, they have better first party software. You don't have a ton of better first party software on the Sony, PlayStation 5 over the Xbox. You do have some, I'll give you that, but you don't have as many as the last generation provided you. Plus, with the Xbox Games Pass, it is by far and away in a era which we need to save money because of all the expenses out there. In an era of rising costs, you have the Xbox Games Pass at a phenomenal value that you can't get on PlayStation. So it just tells me that the way that it's been marketed, the Xbox, has been very poor. And I understand that the Xbox Series Games Pass needs to be promoted on all these different platforms, on your TV, on your phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the first and foremost place you should put it on is the Xbox. And the Xbox gaming handheld is something I would be getting into, Josh, but I feel that it would probably go the way of the Vita, where you have this great technology, this great thing in your hands that you'd love to utilize, which I did have the Vita for, but then realize not many people are making games for it, and it really becomes nothing more than a paperweight.
That's right. All dressed up and nowhere to go, right?
Yes, exactly. DGen said Xbox marketed a fridge better than their systems. Yeah, I heard the fridge is back in stock. So yeah, people are getting excited about that as far as an Xbox fridge. If people can get excited about an Xbox fridge, how can we not get excited about an Xbox handheld? So I ask you, my friend, on that note, I mean, would you be interested in an Xbox handheld, especially if it had exclusive games for it? I mean, that's probably the key. Would they make exclusive games, or would it just be a bridge holder to Xbox Games Pass?
See, that's the big question, isn't it? Like, what exactly would go on to this? Because Xbox is not in a place to hold content back for one console versus another, because they have purchased all these studios, and they've put out so little. So, I mean, I don't think that holding something back from both consoles would be a great idea. So in that case, it would have to be all about the price point for me. Like if it's something I could pick up for, I don't know, $100 or less than $200, then yeah, I mean, I'd consider it, you know, have something for the kids to be able to play with in the car.
I probably wouldn't do that because it'd be OLED screen. If you're doing OLED screen, that's going to be the price beyond $200 in and of itself.
Right. So I don't know. Like I'd have to know more about it. But I mean, right now I'm perfectly satisfied playing on my phone with the backbone. Plus I have the 3G, not three, the LTE network. So I can play it literally anywhere I go. So would you then with the handheld have to purchase some sort of like cell phone plan for it, or how exactly would that work? Because everything, if it's meant specifically for the cloud, you'd have to have a constant internet connection to play it. Whereas like the Nintendo Switch, you just pop a cartridge in there, or not cartridge, but a little, you know, game, and it does its thing. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. But as of right now, would I? No, because I've got so many other ways to play. But I guess I need to know more about what it is.
Remember the days on when the Vita first came out, they used to have the two different kinds. I think it was the two different kind of Vitas, the one with the Wi-Fi and the one with the cellular. That's, you had right. to get like a cellular plan. That was
do you remember the PSP Go? Like everyone was like, oh, this is so cool because you can connect to the internet on it, you can browse websites and all that. And then that ended up going away in like a year. Like I think it was they didn't make actually specific games for it. They were all like digital codes that you had to buy, but people were like super stoked on that because they're like, oh yeah, one day they're going to make it into a cell phone, blah blah blah. And none of that ended up coming true. It just went whoosh.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what I was talking about. The Vita had the Wi-Fi version and the cellular version for with AT&T. You had to get the plan on it. Yeah. And PSP Go. That's funny, you know what, that was the one with the PSP Go with a pop out screen.
Yeah, right? You push the screen up and the joysticks were underneath the panel.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw how that one went. I mean, again, there's a graveyard of Sony paraphernalia that
oh absolutely, yeah.
You know what, that monitor that they sold right around the 2010s 2011 era that they had for like 15 minutes, and then yeah, they've sold different they've had a whole stuff that they've done. You know, just absolutely just mind-boggling the number of stuff that they do. And Xbox again probably wouldn't be too far behind if you'd let them. And we'll see. Again, it's all dependent on how it's marketed. If it's marketed as something people need or want, hell, we've seen the third Godzilla project in the past 6 to 8 months. That's a big hit. So if it's marketed properly like this was, that's a big hit. The same thing could go for Xbox as well. So,
on that note, though, with Godzilla, you know what's interesting to me is now to see that you have companies like Meta, there's movies specifically made and released to those platforms. So, I mean, I wonder how long it's going to take for Sony and Xbox to get into that market also.
Well, remember, Sony did have that as far as the PlayStation TV. It had its shows that got uploaded to for exclusive PlayStation viewers.
Oh, that's right. I remember that Powers show was on there.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, that was ahead of its time in the fact that as far as the amount of gore and violence and language, that because it was like catered to the gaming world as far as how it was created. But yeah, remember, that's another PlayStation thing. Yeah. They set to the side. So yeah, very interesting to see how this all plays out. But an Xbox handheld, I think it's got to have a lot of caveats to it. What's the price? A whole bunch of things if they ever do it. I would be interested in it. I'm not sure I'd get it, but we'll see. Again, I bought the Vita. I was early into it, and I kind of felt burned by the Vita because they just stopped producing games for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried that would happen again as far as just having the ability to go Xbox Games Pass. Do I need it or do I want it? That's the question. If I need it, I'll get it. If I just want it, I think I'll stay away.
I guess it depends on if you're someone who likes to live that lifestyle of extravagance, right? Like, you know, with nowadays with gaming, if you want to play on the go, where there's a will, there's a way. But, you know, if you want the path of least resistance, then I guess handheld would do the trick.
Yeah, D-Gen, it did die out so fast, the PlayStation Vita. They also, you're right, they do need to bring, I remember fondly my days spending hours in PlayStation Home when I got my PlayStation 3. Thought that was fun time is where it was the Sims to another level. I think they have made a PlayStation Home. There is a movement out there that has made, I think IGN covered it at one point in time, as far as PlayStation Home being revived in some form or fashion, as far as independently, as far as bringing that back. So maybe that'll be the case. But yep, I remember Home very fondly, Josh.
Yeah, I was like the handheld PlayStation ecosystem. I never had an opportunity to be a part of that because I was just a broke high school kid trying to play games the best I can. So I'll take your guys' word for it.
Well, Home was just like interactive, like you were part of the Sims, like you were in it, and you could you interacted with people all over. You know, they were just being their avatars, and they'd come and walk up you. You could chat, you know, like not really vocal chat. It was mainly typing chat, but you could talk for people. Or you could go. They would have like malls, and you could go and either shop, or you could go ahead and play. Go to our local arcades. It would have basic arcade games and. Or if you wanted to go bowling or something like that, you want to just do extracurricular activities virtually, it was right there for you. That's what made it so fun. And you could create your full bodied avatar, and it wasn't some like the Wii where it's like this mini shrunk down version of it. So yeah, you know, it's something. And then again, like D-Gen said, I was, you know, we're hanging our heads on the Vita. I mean, now the value of the Vita has gone up because of the great collector's wave that we have now for video games. But yeah, it just, again, if Xbox does it, will they commit to it? You know, just, is it something that 2-3 years down the line that they're going to ditch, you know, like so many of PlayStation's peripherals, or are they going to actually commit to it and support it for the long term? We'll see if they decide to do it.
Yeah, before we close out, you're talking about Sony's graveyard of peripherals. Have you ever played Astro's Playroom on the PS5?
No, I have not yet, but I have seen it and heard it, but I have not played it as of yet. No.
So they have, as you're walking around, like the levels and stuff, you unlock like Sony artifacts. So basically by the end of the game, if you've done all of them, if you're a completionist, you walk into this room, it's like a museum, but basically it's like a museum to all the things that Sony failed at. You know, they have the different, like the screen and the what's the motion plus gun and like all types of things in there, and it's just funny to think about now. I guess
D-Gen has D-Gen has spent some time there, so yeah, it's funny, get to see all the Move controllers and all the other stuff that they had. Yeah, so the PS3i and all that. So yeah, absolutely, just good times of all the stuff. Yeah,
weird time for gaming back
then. The peripherals. Yeah, Nintendo is the only one that seems to stick to their handhelds and stick with it. And you see the success they've had with the Switch 2 or whatever it's going to be called is going to come out, and people are going to love that as well. They slap a Zelda and a Mario game to it, they'll make enough on it. But yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, you saw the success they had with the DS and, yeah, all the great things that they did there. The Game Boy, yeah. So, again, following in the footsteps, will the Xbox? We don't know yet, but are you interested in an Xbox handheld? Please let us know. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Well, my friend, before we head on out, it is Facing the Franchise one more time. And I guess because in honor of the Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire's success, and the news that Godzilla X Kong has reached over $2 billion. I guess it's the MonsterVerse. WB's MonsterVerse has reached over the $2 billion mark in success. I guess we got to look back. So your thoughts, my friend, these kaiju movies proven to be success that's going to be lasting for quite some time because, again, like I mentioned already several times in the show, three Godzilla projects in 6 months, all a success, but not to the success of what we're seeing now with Godzilla X Kong means that, you know what, we're going to see a lot more yet to come.
You know, I'll be honest, after watching, what was it, 2016, I think it was Gareth Edwards' Godzilla came out. Like, you know, the movie was impressive, but I was not thinking to myself, like, oh, this is going to be a major franchise of some sort. But lo and behold, here we are so many years later, and we've got, what, five movies and a series on Apple TV. So, yeah, it was definitely something that came out of nowhere because they don't really do that. Like with the Japanese Godzilla movies, it's all kind of contained, you know, you get a new Godzilla movie every so many years, but I never imagined that it would be this big over in the States. So then we had like what Godzilla was the next one. It's Godzilla King of Monsters, I think was the one that came out after that.
Well, Godzilla came out in 2014. That started it all.
Yeah.
Then Kong Skull Island. I think Kong Skull Island was the movie that actually, you know, really kicked it into gear. Godzilla King of the Monsters came out 2 years later, and then Godzilla versus Kong. And Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. So every 2 to 3 years, expect a new Godzilla movie. I think everything is going to try. And they're just going to, right now, WB this morning, they're passing by all the April Fool's jokes. And they're just trying to get together as fast as they can a Godzilla movie to put it out as fast as they
can. Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it doesn't have much of a story. Like they try to put like a human element into it, but
nobody cares about the human.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to watch, you know, Millie Bobby Brown run around with somebody and try to solve a mystery. Like everyone just wants to see, like, get to the part where Godzilla punches King Kong or King Kong shoots a laser out of its mouth at, you know, some robot. Like that's all anybody wants to see. That's why people go to see these movies. And yeah, D-Gen says it's not Transformers.
But Transformers, same thing. Nobody cares about the humans in Transformers. Right. Sorry, Shia LaBeouf, but nobody cares about that. All they care about is the Transformers transforming and battling each other. Nobody cares about the Fast movies as far as the actors to any extent, or Vin Diesel saying family, 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 like a drinking game. How many times does Vin Diesel say family in a movie? All they care about is the cars and what they can do and the crazy stunts that they pull off. It's just, again, you know, whatever you say, what kind of denominator it is, it caters to popcorn movies. People just have a fancy for what they feel is entertaining popcorn movies. I mean, I've sat through all the Fast movies. Not by now, it's just because I have to and I'm obligated to. But yeah, it just when it comes to the Godzilla movies, I think I've drawn the line pretty much there. I've watched a couple of them. They really not entertained me. So
yeah,
I don't know. It just, for most people, it does. It's entertaining and it's what's neat, you know, what they're desiring. And Warner Brothers is going to go ahead and continue to do it. So,
you know, I'm looking at the production budgets of these movies right now. They're in the neighborhood of $130 to $135 million to make each. Mm-hmm. So, and they've already earned that money back. So why stop here? You know, like it's much like we talked about with Ghostbusters last time, was that it seems foolish not to keep going with this because they are getting a return, although not, you know, right. Actually, I don't know right now. This could end up being a massive return, but
it will be. It's likely heading past what Dune Part 2 will do, most likely getting around $700 to $800 million. I mean, if you do that every time, that's a profit on your investment initially at the box office. If you can make a profit on your initial investment at the box office, not have to worry about DVDs or streaming, wait until it makes a profit, then you're good, you're golden. And that's absolutely what Warner Brothers is saying to themselves this Monday morning about how fast they can churn out another Godzilla movie. Because as you see, and the success of Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple Plus after Skull Island, you know, that came out too as well last year as far as that animated feature. But Legacy of Monsters has been a hit for Apple TV Plus. Yeah, they can't produce Godzilla stuff fast enough for the television and movie markets.
Oh yeah, I mean, and not to mention, like I said, you go to Target or Walmart, like the merchandise is all over the place and people are scooping it up. So not making more of these would be a very foolish decision. And whether or not this is your cup of tea, one thing that is very impressive about this is, remember, in the wake of, you know, we had 2010, Iron Man came out, right? And they started to slowly build this connected universe everyone's obsessed with. And then, what was it, 5 years later, we had all of these universes. People are like, oh yeah, we're going to make this a connected universe. This is a connected universe. We had the Universal Monsters universe, which ended up going...
thanks, Tom Cruise.
Right. But this has been a connect... Like, the universe that has been created here is still going strong. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to be incorporating Pacific Rim, like the Jaegers next, or whatever might happen from here. But I don't know. There's something to be said about this franchise's ability to adapt and survive. That is actually quite impressive.
It is quite impressive. And I think I would probably try to attach it to it and revive the Pacific Rim, because Pacific Rim, after the sequel came out, kind of flatlined a little bit. But it's still a property, I think, that you can revive. All it takes is attaching itself to the next Godzilla movie, and there you go.
Fast X-Zilla X-Kong would be absolutely amazing. I just want to see a black Dodge Charger, like, launching itself off the top of Godzilla's head.
While Vin is screaming, family, 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 I take my life one quarter mile at a time. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Enjoy that beer. It belonged to Vince.
Yeah, something like that. But it is, of course, the Godzilla X Kong now franchise. Would you like to see Pacific Rim added on to it? Please let us know your thoughts, and let us know if you think you are ready to go for more Godzilla movies, because according to what was sold this weekend in tickets, it seems like the world can't get enough Godzilla right now. Please let us know your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Well, my friend, it's been a great episode. I know you said you're heading out here in the not too distant future to go ahead and sell some more great merchandise for Happy Hoarder Collectibles. Because you said you have a desire at some point in time maybe to open a store. Can I just ask you something?
Okay, go for it.
When your game section, okay, because I went into a store the other day. It's a various pop culture store. It was started out as a video game store. And then, no, it's not our good friends at Retro City Games. Just want to make sure that's abundantly clear. But I go into the store. Now it's one third video games, one third cards, collectibles, those type of things as far as Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, etc. And then another third for rest of pop culture, want to sell pops, all that. So you go in there and you go on the video game side and you go and you look at the aisles and you see in the glass cases all the valuable video games. None of them have a price. You go down the aisles and they're very, you know, nicely organized by different manufacturer, different maker. And you see the ones that are priced. Then all of a sudden you go down rows that say a sticker on it, please ask associate for price. Right. And there are rows where it just says, please ask associate for price. So basically they stop pricing it along the way, Josh. And then they said, okay, refer to pricecharting.com so we can make sure we get you on the full price. It's terrible. It's terrible. And then all the valuable ones behind the case have absolutely no price on it. Do I have to ask a price for every single thing that you have on the video game side? It was disappointing, Josh. Very disappointing.
My thoughts on that is
Let me just say this, D-Gen, since D-Gen lives in my city. Unfortunately, D-Gen, I'll tell you off screen what it is. And it's someplace where I think you've probably been to before yourself. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think a business model like that is them, you know, like you said, using price charting. Like, they don't want to miss out. Like, if a game went up in value overnight or over the course of a week, they want to be able to charge that for the game instead of just giving a steady price of what it was, which is a really stupid business model, because a lot of people be like, oh, why am I going to pay $25 for a copy of Siphon Filter when I can get it on eBay for, you know, $15, and it usually has free shipping on it. So that's a very greedy business model, in my opinion.
it's just a bad way to go ahead and treat your consumers.
Yeah, never.
So for Josh Peterson, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Please go ahead and like, follow, and subscribe. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the Pop Culture Cosmos. Thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.